This morning, I want to read to you from a passage that has had many people misinterpret it over the years, but a passage that I've been thinking about probably for a couple of months now, and I think really resonates with our own stories and what God has to say to us about prayer and about coming to God and about trusting in God's goodness. Now, as we read it, I want you to work through the tensions in the text and where you can see where people misunderstand what the text has to say, and I will walk you through that. So let's read together from Luke 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that great town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to myself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will God not bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" I want to tell you a story that one of you shared with me not that long ago. It's a story of a boy at the time named Charles Mully. Charles Mully had big dreams. He was going to go to university. He was going to make something of himself. In fact, in his own mind, he was going to be extraordinary. It far outreached any realm of possibility for him to go through this. You see, Charles Mully grew up in a home where he was physically abused. He grew up in an underdeveloped country of the world. 6 years old, he was on the street asking for food. He worked in a labor camp, making or pulling or whatever they do to coffee beans to get them ready. But then he got a job. And then he got his own taxi. And then he built his company and he had taxis. And then he built his company and he had buses. And then he went from buses to a transportation company. And then he expanded it. And he now had an insurance company. By the time he was 40, Charles Mully broke any realm of human possibility and became a multimillionaire. He got married. He's married to a woman named Esther, and they have 8 kids. They live on the outskirts of a town called Eldoret in Kenya. They started a charity, a foundation, which takes in kids off the street and not only houses them, but gives them health care and food and an education. And the exciting thing is that they're 50% self-sustainable by growing their own livestock, their own EU-certified organic French beans, and lots of vegetables. Charles Mully will tell you that it's only by the grace of God that this has happened. Mully now invests in the 2,500 kids that are now under his care. And what he tells them is how much God loves them. That although their circumstance seems impossible to the human eye, that God is with them, that God had not forgotten them. Jump ahead to Luke 18, and you see a very familiar story. There's a story of a widow. This widow is seeking justice or for a judge in a court to do what is right. You see, things are so different today. Because in our day and age, a widow can own property. A widow can have a home. A widow can have status in society. A widow could be very, very wealthy. But here, when the hearers hear that a widow comes to the court, you know what they hear? The word forsaken. They hear the word to be left empty. In fact, it was so significant that the courts of the day, the Torah, indicated that certain things had to be done to protect a widow. Let me give you two. Deuteronomy 24. Do not deprive the alien or the fatherless of justice or take the cloak of a widow. And catch the severity here. Exodus 22. Do not take advantage of the widow or the orphan. If you do, and they call to me, I will hear them. My anger will be aroused and you will lose your life. And your wives themselves will become widows and your children will become fatherless. See, if this woman wasn't protected, she would not only have poverty, but she would starve. And yet everything was against her. And her only hope is a judge. I suspect most of us would in the text say right now, why would you even bother? You know that everything is against you and you have no hope that you're ever going to get the judge to do what you want him to do. And so many times, maybe we don't ask. Maybe we don't ask God. Maybe we say, well, where is God anyways? He's not going to answer. Have you ever had something where you wanted to bring to God and you just didn't because you've lost heart? You see, the widow is coming before the judge because somebody has been harassing her. Somebody has been her adversary. Somebody has been continually coming after her story and making her life difficult. And her only hope is the second character in the story, and that's the judge. But what you learn, if you've got a Bible open, is that it says that he neither fears God nor has any concern for human beings. So these two statements are important in us understanding the rest of the text. Because here you have a widow who needs justice, and he doesn't care what God says. He doesn't care about justice. He doesn't care about doing what is right, to caring for the orphan and the widow and their distress. He doesn't care about loving mercy. Oh, what's worse? Anyone that comes to his court is a pain. They're a burden. They're bothersome by nature. In fact, he couldn't even really care about what's going on in their stories. You get the picture of what's going on as Dr. Luke writes the text. Don't waste your time. Just forget about it. You already know what's going to happen. And you have a widow who goes, I want my rights. I want what the law says. I want justice. And yet the judge tosses her case away. She's got no money. She's got no attorney. She's got no relationship to the courts. She doesn't have a chance. So what does she do? Could you imagine this being the picture? The judge wakes up. He parks his car. And there she is. He goes to the courtroom. And there she is. They recess for a break. And there she is. The court ends for the day, and there she is. She seems to always be in the face of the judge because he's either going to give her justice or he's going to need to deal with her in some way. Now, if the woman continues to do this, she's going to make some noise. Things are going to get public. But remember, the judge doesn't care about God, and he doesn't care about man. But if he's seen as not being able to give justice, to do what the Torah says, he would no longer be a judge. And he says, I can't take it. I don't know what it's going to take. But just give this woman what she wants and let her go away. Tell her to stop pestering me. Maybe that's the moral of the story. Maybe if we pester God long enough, we'll get what we want. Maybe if we pester our parents long enough, we'll get that Cabbage Patch doll. Maybe if we pester our wife long enough, she'll give us what we want. Ever try to put into practice and see how it turns out? That can't be what the text is talking about. But many people believe today that if you just ask God long enough, he'll be like Santa Claus and he'll give you whatever you want. But that's not how God operates. Remember, the whole idea of the passage is that you and I would learn to pray and not lose heart. To not lose heart when you and I need healing in our lives. To not lose heart when we've asked some very hard questions of God and we just haven't gotten any answers. To not lose heart. You fill in the blank. So this must be what the text is saying. I get it now. We're the widow in the story, right? We're poor. We're helpless. We're penniless. We have no opportunity to fix things in our lives ourselves, so we might as well reach out. Oh, and God must be the judge. I mean, I know he's busy operating the whole world and everything, and he's kind of busy. But maybe if I keep asking, I'll wear God out. Does it sound right to you? Listen to what it says. Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about his chosen justice, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? No, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. What I hope you're getting this morning is that these two misunderstandings in our text are just that, they're misunderstandings. For you and I walk down the 400 series highway, or we walk along a dusty road, you and I get to ask the question, how do you understand God? What do we come to learn about God? See, Jesus is giving us the meaning of the story in that verse I just read. Because the widow was poor and helpless. She had no connection to the court. She was forgotten. She was left open. But notice, if you know anything about God, this is what God says to you and I this morning. You are heirs of the kingdom of God. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are loved beyond your wildest imagination. That there's nothing that God will not do for his children. Remember in Peter where he says this? You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You belong to God. We have all the resources of heaven, unlike the widow in our text. Everything that you could ever possibly need in life, you have, because you have access to the Father. And your Father not only hears you, but your Father will answer you. And God is not like the judge, because God's desire is for us to experience his goodness. The psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The New Testament writers write, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? God is so good and so loving and gracious that he heard our prayer before we even answered it, by sending Jesus into the world to redeem us from our sin. God is interested in your prayer because you are his child. and he loves you. 4-year-old Caitlin was one impatient little girl. One morning, she told her mother, "Maybe if we both pray out loud, God will hear us." And so they prayed and they finished. And Caitlin said to her mom almost immediately before amen came, "So what did God say?" "It doesn't work that way, honey," the mother said. Caitlin was indignant. "Do you mean, Mom, that we're praying to an answering machine?" Sometimes we're like Caitlin, aren't we? Sometimes we pray and we wonder why God hasn't answered already, because he already knows our requests. I don't know why sometimes it takes a while to get an answer to our prayer, but I knew that God does not always tell us in advance how he's going to respond. But what I do know is this, is that God is able. God is more than able to answer any request that you have this morning. Anything that you are laying before the throne room of heaven, God is more than able to answer. Don't worry whether God can handle your problems or not, because he can. Jesus asks, "Will he delay long over them?" And then he answers, "I tell you, he will bring about justice and do it speedily." What does Jesus mean when we offer up our prayers and he says that he will answer quickly or speedily? I think what we need to understand as you and I pray, and he says that God will answer, is that he answers in his time. His time and our understanding of time is so different than ours. Here, almost 2,000 years later, Jesus has promised that he would return, and yet he hasn't. And yet he said he would. Think of Noah, who was called by God to build an ark, and picture for 100 years sitting there waiting for the floods to come. And to have that absolute trust that God would be faithful to his word, that he would do exactly what he asked you to do. Think about Abraham and Sarah, who were told that they would have children as numerous as the stars. Sarah's well past menopause. It's been 25 years since this prediction had been given. And yet Abraham and Sarah had children as numerous as the stars. Think of Joseph, who had this dream that his father and his brothers would bow down to him in his teenage years. And yet in his 20s, he's sitting in jail. Or think about where Israel prayed to be freed from the Egyptian slavery. Moses comes on the scene, and well, Moses starts to wander in the desert for a little while trying to figure it all out. But he comes back and he leads the people out of slavery. Jesus promised that he would send a Messiah. 400 years roughly since the last book of the Old Testament until Jesus comes. Speedily. God's timing is so different than ours. But what we can know this morning is that God hears your prayer and that God answers. And if it seems as though God is distant, that God is silent, that God is not answering your prayers as quick as you'd like, be aware that God hears. It has not gone silent. The time, and I don't know the answer why, I'm not going to pretend to. God just hasn't revealed the answer. But what I hope you get this morning in the story of the widow is of how much God loves you and how available God is, and for your own story. And although you may not see it, God is at work behind the scenes of the story and the things you are bringing before the throne room of heaven. I want to invite you to trust in a good and a loving God who loves you more than you could ever ask or imagine. And know that if he was willing to die for you, he can surely take care of the rest. Amen. As we come to prayer this morning, we want to remember the names that are in the bulletin, but we also want to remember Roberta and her family as they have the celebration of life for her husband Leonard today at 1 o'clock. Want to remember them. Also want to remember our Vacation Bible Camp that will be coming. Hope that you'll remember us this week in prayer, not only those of us that will be leading, but that we'd also remember all the kids that will be coming, that they too would be open and receptive to what God wants to do this week. And we're thankful for the young people and the leaders that made it back from serve this past week, or last night. And if you haven't figured out who they are, I'm sure there's some... Why don't you stand? If you were on serve, why don't you stand for a moment? The leaders too. Welcome back. And I hope we look forward to hearing more about your story and what God did. But before they do that, at some point in the near future, if you want to hear a quick story from them, I'm sure they would love to tell you a story of something that God did within them or that God did through them. Just very thankful for their gifts as well. And I know I put the young people all on the spot for that, but that's okay. Why don't we pray together? God, you are good, and we thank you that there is nothing that we cannot bring before the throne room of heaven. And yet this morning, Lord, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are those of us this morning that simply need to hear a word from you. Something to encourage us in our faith as we wait for an answer. And Lord, I pray that in this coming week that there will be some small glimmer of encouragement in that. That our faith would be encouraged, that we would be able to stay the course, that we would be able to rest in the fact that you have it in control. And Lord, I just pray that you would bring those into our story that can help us encourage, be encouraged in that way. Lord, we want to pray that encouragement for Marg's mom and Julie's mom. Lord, we pray that you would continue to lay your healing touch upon them. Lord, we pray that you would refresh their spirit. We pray that you would encourage their faith. Lord, as they continue to wait for answers, oh God, we pray that you would enrich their faith so much that even as we're praying this morning, that they would be encouraged in their walk with you. And that you would give them an overwhelming sense of peace. Lord, we also think of our own parents who are getting older. Lord, we pray for each of us as we walk with our parents in new stages of getting older, that you would give us the grace and the wisdom to walk with them through those stages and do so wisely. Would you be with this coming week? Would you be with all who enter the doors of this church this week for Vacation Bible Camp? We pray for the leaders, for an openness to the moving of your spirit. We pray for a deep love for all of the children who will enter in. And that we'll be able to not only tell, but model the story of the love of God. We pray for the children who will enter in. We pray for a warmth and a receptivity for what you want to do in their stories, even though they don't even realize it yet. And we pray that their faith will be strengthened. We pray that there will be seeds of faith that will not only grow, but for some that will be planted for the first time. And that this week of Vacation Bible Camp will just be an exciting week as we hear stories of what you're doing. We thank you for the serve team. We thank that they could not only have a great experience, but Lord, that they could also arrive home safely. We pray that that authentic community that they experienced on serve would flow through not only into their families, but into this community of faith here at church, into their schools, and that, Lord, that what they have learned, what they have put into practice would continue to grow and flourish and be developed. Lord, we want to pray for Roberta this morning, Lord, as in a few hours, Lord, they will receive guests to celebrate Leonard's life, Lord. We pray that you would strengthen her and refresh her. We pray that today would be a great encouragement, not only to her, but to her family. And Lord, as many guests will come, we just pray that she would be blessed. And this would just be a good day for her and for Sal and for the family. Thank you for your amazing love for her, for us. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us in all we do. In your name we pray. Amen.